like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You know, it's hard to believe that we got almost another month over in the year 2011. We're on the last Monday night of the broadcast, 28th day of March, year 2011. The time is going by so quickly. Maybe it really is true. The older you get, the faster it goes. I don't know, but this show is flying. Welcome to the next program. We're going to bring up a guest in a few minutes. We're going to discuss with John DiNardo what could happen here with radiation leaks. What if there was an earthquake in New York or the New Madrid fault where all the plants are? That what would happen here? What should we do to prepare? We're going to discuss it a little bit with John DiNardo, so please don't go away. Back at the break with the guest, John DiNardo. A lot to talk about tonight. Don't go away.
This is war.
All right, folks, let's get started. Tonight we'll be talking to John DiNardo. This is the first time I've had this gentleman on my broadcast, and I was talking to him during a break there. Excited to hear about Law of Fame, especially his testimony of what could happen in this country, not the happenings, but what it could lead to as far as people returning to their Creator for help. But anyway, we're going to discuss in a minute with John in more detail, perhaps, as a testimony. But our guest is he's a background from military service. He's an electrical engineer. He's worked in physics. He knows about nuclear reactors. He knows what's going on here. The good, bad, and ugly all combined. We're going to talk about that tonight and maybe just briefly discuss what happened in Japan. John DiNardo, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Butch. I'm pleased to be with you and your audience.
Well, it's good to have you. I mean that. And I have, in my opinion, the sharpest audience in the country. And I'm saying that sincerely. I'm just saying that. These people that are listening right now are really on top of the game. They're on the cutting edge of what's happening in this country. So I want you, John, not to pull any punches, of course, just tell the truth about everything that's going on around the world, especially here. But before we get into what's going to happen here in this country, perhaps, it would be fair of me to say, from what I have seen and studied and read about what happened in Japan, some 700 earthquakes since a big one a couple weeks ago, would it be fair to say that Japan is probably going to cease being Japan? Half the island maybe will be uninhabitable. What's your opinion on that?
Well, only God knows that, Pastor Butch, but there are growing signs that Japan is going to experience some more very violent, destructive earthquakes. The way we see these earthquake swarms occurring in recent weeks, and that fault line could explode it once again, and could cause portions, if not all of Japan, to sink. We don't know; only God knows. But we have to prepare, and I would like to start off by giving people hope, and that is God, our Savior, promised.
Amen.
Guaranteed us that he would save all who call out to him.
Amen.
And I've been trying. I'm in fear, and my fear of the Lord is giving me greater devotion to him. And I try to keep him in my thoughts, try to pray passively to God our Savior throughout the day by simply feeling his presence without saying anything to him, because I'm the student, he's the professor.
Amen to
so
that.
I just listen throughout the day as I'm going about my daily chores, and I trust that he will speak to my mind, but I have to feel his presence. Just in other words, I have to be in his classroom
right,
in order to get his lecture.
Well, you have to allow his spirit to work inside you. And he said, be still and know that I am God. But I mean, you also talk about Japan, though, the part of not so much about the earthquakes, but the fallout from the nuclear reactors and all the other things that's going to affect that island. How many years in a row would that be before that would ever begin to clear up?
I really don't foresee. Again, only God knows, but I don't foresee any possibility of Japan ever coming out of this disaster. First of all, let's assume that there would be no other earthquakes at all. You still have a great amount of radioactive fallout that is killing the people slowly through leukemia.
Right.
And that's inevitable. But again, we see greater Earth activity. The crust of the Earth is being traumatized increasingly. The data is there. Even if you go beyond the falsification that our U.S. Geological Survey, our government, has been handing us all these years, they've been falsifying, blatantly falsifying the earthquake data. Even if you go look casually into that data, you see that the earthquake activity has been increasing tremendously, and there's got to be a reason for it. It's not just a natural anomaly, but it's a trend, a long-time term trend that's gone on for at least 20 years now, this increase in earthquake activity. And I can explain it. Well, scientists at NASA actually did give us the cause of this 27 years ago before they were muzzled by the National Security Agency. You know, the scientists naturally have a desire to tell the public and to proclaim their achievements and their discoveries.
Sure.
So, and that's what they tried to do in the beginning back in 1983 when they were searching for this huge celestial object way beyond the outer bounds of our solar system. And they presented this information to the New York Times, the largest newspaper in the United States back in 1983. I went to my library, I photocopied the actual article. I put it on the internet, and everyone can look at the actual article, not a reprint. And I've got it in front of me. New York Times, Sunday, January 30th, 1983. This evidently is the object that is causing, through its gravitational pull, as it approaches our sun. You see, it's got to approach the sun because gravity works. When two bodies get close to one another, the closer they get, the greater is the gravitational force of attraction between those two bodies. Consequently, the greater is the acceleration of the smaller body toward the larger body. This smaller body has been defined by National Aeronautics and Space Administration as a brown dwarf star. And this was 27 years ago. They said it's most likely a brown dwarf star. Now that it has been coming in due to gravitational attraction over the past 27 years, it has entered our solar system. I suspect that it's somewhere around Jupiter or even closer to us and the sun than Jupiter right now. As it gets closer, its gravitational pull on the Earth intensifies. It starts to molest and traumatize the Earth's thin crust, which you might compare to a raw eggshell. The shell of a raw egg. And beneath that crustal surface is about 1,800 miles deep of thick, viscous, pudding-like molten rock called mantle, the mantle of the Earth. That is also being gravitationally and magnetically traumatized, pulled upon by this gravitational force of this passing body as it comes closer. So the earthquake activity has to intensify as this body approaches us on its way toward the sun. It's just passing by. But during that pass-by, that's when we'll see incredible earthquakes. And God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied that all this would happen. And this is, for those of us who have discernment, we know that this is God's judgment. But
well,
he
promises
to save to anyone who calls out to him. Joel chapter 2, written around 800 B.C. The Lord says there will be fire, pillars of smoke, and columns of fire. The sky will the sun will turn black. And the Lord Jesus tells that also in the book of Revelation and in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. All these prophecies are there. He knew, God knew that this is his baseball that he's pitching from that pitcher's mound up in the heavens.
You know, and people, I try to explain this to people, no matter what we see happening, even some people say that that HAARP caused this, and I have no doubt that HAARP plays a part in a lot of things, weather modification, other things. Whether HAARP did it or it's from the planet, I'm not going to judge it right now, but the point I want to make is this. No matter what caused it, it is prophesied it's going to happen. And our God is the one who allows it to happen, no matter how it's done, whether man does it to himself or he does some other supernatural intervention. It makes no difference, John. It's still a prophecy. You know, the Lord God told us in the Scripture that evil was judgment for evil. The more evil you become, the more evil he allows to come upon you. And so, in a sense, we do it to ourselves. And we say, well, then God must be out of control. No, God's not out of control. He told you it's going to happen. We must understand this and understand that all praise and all glory and all reverence goes to him, because no matter how it works out and no matter how it shakes out, who does what, our God prophesied this. And this should be enough to open people's eyes. With what happened in Japan, John, do you foresee something in the near future, perhaps happening in America somewhere like this, an earthquake of that magnitude?
I'm sorry, but we do. I do foresee that. I mean, the evidence is beginning to indicate it. First of all, there's someone on YouTube that was brought to my attention. He did a 51-minute presentation, and I sent it out to many people, the link. This guy sounded like he was a scientist.
I saw that. You sent it to me. Thank you.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. And he showed all the earthquakes, and he indicated that there is going to be a tremendous, some kind of a collapse of Japan into the sea, and the resultant tsunami will hit the west coast of the U.S. But we have to warn people. You know, I mean, it's better to warn them and tell them to be prepared for it, to look for the warning signs so that they can flee inland temporarily, than it is to be afraid to tell them the truth. You know, some people don't like me talking to older people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they need to be devoted to him in their minds before they die, because they don't want to upset the person by talking about death. But in trying to spare their feelings,
you lose your soul.
You ensure their eternal death.
Yes, you lose your soul. That's sad. But if there were an earthquake that would cause Japan to do that, how long will it take a tsunami to reach the West Coast?
Well, I can give you an example. Estimates that have been made by scientists regarding may very well be the coming East Coast tsunami. Those scientists did all the analyses, and they figured that it would take about 8 hours for a tsunami to go from the west coast of Africa to the east coast of the United States.
Wow.
Now, the distance between California, the west coast, to Japan is greater, I believe, than it is across the Atlantic. So figure maybe about 8 to 10 hours.
My goodness, that's phenomenal. That is phenomenal how fast that will cross the ocean. That is phenomenal.
They estimate the speed to be around 450, 500 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's what the speed of a good airliner, jetliner, yes. So do you foresee also quakes in America? Along the New Madrid Fault, they're beginning to have a lot of small quakes. Even here in West Virginia, we had 3 or 4 small ones last year. In West Virginia, is this going to increase? Folks, back at the break with the answer to that question on your phone call next half hour. Now's your chance to ask somebody who knows what's going on. 800-259-5791. Don't go away. Folks, we're getting back in the broadcast. The lines are already filling up. 800-259-5791. We're talking to John DiNardo. And John, what is your, by the way, before we get back to the question, what is your website?
Well, I have a friend of mine who has a website. It's thelightofdayradioshow.com. Thelightofdayradioshow.com. But they have to just click on the big Planet X logo at the very top of the page, and that will take them to a Planet X page with lots of audios of my radio program, Dramatizing Planet X.
Okay. And folks, we're not here tonight to try to scare you into anything. We just want you to be prepared. Planet X or man-made disasters, I'm not going to say, because I truly don't know. But I know they're prophesied. And when you start seeing this Earth starting to rock and roll like it had been, and you see the Earth actually speeding up milliseconds of time because of earthquakes and rocking on its axis, understand that Scripture also. The Earth will rock to and fro like a drunk man. That's in your Bible. Like a drunkard. So it's in your Bible. Understand that this is happening because the Bible says it's going to happen. Prepare yourself spiritually first. Then get ready for other things. John, go and give us your scenario, what could happen in this country if there is an earthquake of that magnitude in this country.
Well, basic physics dictates that when two bodies are close to one another, there is a gravitational force. Now, this huge body has been, I'm about ready to read some of the evidence from the New York Times presented through the National by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration a long time ago when this planet was coming in toward the outer bounds of our solar system, the evidence that to prove they call it Planet X. This, the title of this article from the New York Times is Clues Get Warm in the Search for Planet X. In the article, they mention, incidentally, that the astronomers of the world have dubbed this unseen but gravitationally felt body, Planet X, ever since 1900, for 111 years. It has had that name through a by given to it by the astronomical community. So this is not a science fiction hoax or a figment of someone's imagination. What could happen is that as it approaches, again, gravity works. Gravity is inexorable, as you know. If you were to allow a rock to fall from your hand, that rock must necessarily be gravitationally pulled towards the Earth. Likewise, this, what NASA believed 27 years ago, was a brown dwarf star, a baby star that never got large enough to ignite. They call it a brown dwarf star. Well, this brown dwarf star, just like a rock falling to Earth, is falling gravitationally to our sun, which is much more massive. This brown dwarf star, conservatively estimated by definition to be about at least three Jupiter masses. Now, one Jupiter mass is 318 Earth masses. So even the puniest brown dwarf star, being about three Jupiter masses, would be running close to 1,000 Earth masses. And our sun, however, is much, much greater than that. Our sun is one-third of a million Earth masses. So the smaller object, 1,000 Earth masses, is being drawn to the one-third of a million Earth mass sun. But as it's being drawn, it has to pass by Earth. It has to pass over the top of all the inner planets. When it gets overhead, we'll be able to see it in the sky as a red glowing object. And incidentally, I have done a study and found that in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 63, specifically verse 6, that the Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew language actually says, and I deciphered it and corrected the mistranslation. It says, God says, I will bring from afar my bright, red, glittering object to its destination, planet Earth. That's exactly what Isaiah 63:6 says, and I did the proof of it.
Can people see this with this telescope now?
The government can definitely see it. I don't know about people on the ground because we have so much haze in the atmosphere. Incidentally, we can prove that it's very difficult to see it through our hazy atmosphere with all the chemtrails that have built up over the years. We can prove that atmospheric obstructions are preventing us from people in the southern hemisphere of the Earth from seeing it. And that proof lies in the fact that the government secretly constructed this huge facility, huge building, in the harshest environment on Earth, the South Pole, where, you know, people could not even exist for a minute without being frozen to death. Yet they constructed it in the South Pole because that's the only place you can see this object coming in from below the soles of the feet of Fat Man Earth. You have to get down below and look into the southern skies, and that's why they went into this harsh environment. There's
okay.
Proof right there that only the government could see it because they've got our money to do it with.
Hang on to the break. Folks, back at the break with your phone calls, 800-259-5791. Don't go away.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
All right, folks, we are back. We're talking to John DiNardo, and the information shared tonight, I really cannot confirm. I ask you to search for yourself, but I know for sure the scriptures foretell massive earthquakes in diverse places and confusion upon this earth that you would not believe because of catastrophe is happening in this whole world. But I have to believe that America, because of what you once was and has now become, a great whore, is going to pay a price that's unbelievably, a catastrophe beyond words. And I want to ask John, if you would, to share with us a few thoughts of what he thinks could happen in the very near future in America with earthquakes and nuclear reactors. John, tell the folks what you see may happen in this country.
By simple basic physics, what must happen necessarily as this comet, as this huge brown dwarf star on a cometary orbit looping to loop around the sun, as it passes by and over Earth, its gravitational force, because of its closer proximity, it will cause increasing trauma to the crust and the mantle of the Earth. What happens is the Earth is like the skin. Did you ever make some pudding when you were young?
A boy? Oh, yes.
Okay, and then you let the pudding cool. Mm-hmm. Now what happens, the skin will form on the surface of the pudding, of the pot. And if you stick a fork in there, you'll see that the pudding beneath the skin is more moist and viscous. Well, similarly, the Earth's crust is like the skin on that cooled pudding. And the Earth's mantle below it, that's molten rock, is like the surface beneath the surface of the pudding, where it's warmer and more viscous and more flowing. Well, just imagine if you had cooked that pudding with iron magnetic particles or iron particles in it. You wouldn't want to eat it, but what would happen then if you took a very strong magnet and held it over and got closer and closer to the surface of that pudding with that very strong magnet? It would actually pull the surface of the crust, that is the skin of the pudding and the pudding beneath it, it would massage it, pull it up, cause ripples and waves. You know, we get the same kind of phenomenon with the moon pulling on the ocean, and because the ocean is easier to move, is more flowing and more liquidy, then you're going to get a noticeable distortion. Tidal activity will increase as the moon gets closer to the Earth. Likewise, the same gravitational forces act upon the surface of the Earth. So we must necessarily get earthquakes as this huge brown dwarf star gets closer. And that means every weak spot on the Earth, with this raw egg, you could compare it to a raw egg that has multiple cracks in its shell and cracks from past destructions. In fact, there are 12 major sections that are cracked on the Earth, each one of which is called a tectonic plate. So that's where you're going to get the most action, the most molestation, movement, thrusting, heaving of the crust is at these junction of these tectonic plates. Well, you know, we saw that happening in Japan.
We did. If this would happen in the Midwest or even West Coast, or even New York, up in New York with the nuclear plant up in New York, it's just as phenomenal could happen in the in Indian Point in New York. If this would happen, these plants, even two or three of them would erupt, would just fall apart in the Midwest. How much of this country would that affect? Just the radiation itself.
Oh, the radiation would, in a short time, would cover the entire United States. I would think, you know, it depends on how much radioactive fallout is emitted from the nuclear reactors in Indian Point. There are three nuclear reactors, all of which, I believe, according to the seismologists, are sitting right on top of two intersecting fault lines, cracks in the crust of the Earth.
Why would any moron build a plant on a section like that?
Well, from what I read, they were not aware of these fault lines before they constructed the nuclear reactor.
That's kind of, you know, that John, that hadn't been that long ago. Those haven't been there for 100 years. You would think that they would have done some research. Surely they would have known about this fault line before. I would think they would have 20, 30 years ago.
They should have. I think they may not be telling us the whole truth when they say they were not aware of it.
Maybe they were, but they figured,
well, we can build it because look, money is the real object of their pursuit. And incidentally, I was watching a local NBC news on New York local station, and they were stating in the report that those reactors were built to withstand a magnitude 6.2 earthquake maximum.
Oh,
and now we had a 9.0 in Japan, and couple that with the worrisome fact that a 9.0 is really even greater than a 9.0. You see, the government began to falsify the earthquake magnitude scale about 20 years ago because, and there's more, and that's more evidence that they knew about this incoming brown dwarf star and the earthquakes it would cause. So they deliberately falsified the earthquake scale so that earthquakes would seem milder than they actually are. And that's more evidence of the cover-up. As President Nixon once said, it's not the crime that incriminates them, it's the cover-up. And that's part of the cover-up.
I looked at the word strength up. You mentioned in Isaiah 63, verse 6. Look the word strength up in the concordance, and you're right on the money. The word strength there in the Hebrew word language means this, folks. This is what it says in concordance. I'm going to read to you very briefly here. It references 5332 of the Strong's Concordance, which also references 5331 and 5329. But it says this, through the idea of brilliancy of color, juice of the grape as blood red, blood strength. That's what it means. Now listen to this other on 5331. The bright object at a distance traveled towards, hence, splendor. It goes on from there and says, to the most distant point of view, always, constantly, in. It's just, and then 5329 says, to glitter from afar, i.e. to be imminent. That is a phenomenal meaning of a word strength when you tie it all together, what he just said. So, interesting topic on that, John. You did a good job pulling that out, and I've never noticed that.
Inspiration of God. I don't know why I settled on that word from all the words in the Bible, but I think God drew me to that.
Amen.
To warn people, to be a Noah or a Jonah.
Well, what should people do to prepare if there is a nuclear problem here in this country? Tell us, we offer here in our ministry, I think, one of the best iodines available. I mean, I know it is. I've studied about it, read about it, interviewed the person, the lady that developed it. But other than iodine, what should they do to prepare?
Well, iodine, let's see now. You can't do anything about the other radioactive elements that are floating around in the air. There's nothing that I know of, I don't think the scientists know of anything that can be done about that, except temporarily you might get some protection by staying in your house and trying to seal off the air, but how long could that last? I think we don't really have too many years left. By the time people start getting leukemia after three or four years, I think this world will pretty much be finished, and that God will have ushered in his new pristine, renewed earth. And that's why we have to, we try to protect ourselves as much as possible, because my goal is this: keep people alive every day possible, because the longer they stay alive, the better the chance they have of coming to faith in God, the Savior, who is bringing all this destruction upon us.
Amen. Well, so what you're saying is, at best, it'd be a temporary help. Just do the best you can is all you can do.
Yeah, I mean, the iodine is important, but there's nothing, absolutely nothing that I know of or anyone knows of, I don't think, to protect yourself from the plutonium or uranium or any other radioactive elements that are floating around. And then it gets also, here's the thing, too. It gets into your body, it gets into your food, into your water, you start drinking it. Now, every tiny microscopic radioactive particle is an emitter of high-energy gamma rays. It's electromagnetic energy, sort of like a tiny little ray gun that shoots into every little cell of your body as it gets into your stomach cells and the cells of all the organs of your body. It's constantly shooting these rays because it's emitting energy. It's decaying. The atoms, these isotopes, are decaying. And every time the radiation is emitted from these microscopic particles, submicroscopic particles, it damages your cells, the elements of your cells, until cancer is a result.
Oh,
leukemia is usually the first type of disease that
Let me ask you a question. Forget the phone call. We've got to get the phone line. The phone lines are full. But very quickly, could you give us maybe perhaps a timeline of when this could happen in this country, a major quake? But before you do that, how many quakes a year that you know of does this country get hit by?
It's so many. I mean, it's countless. But, it depends on what magnitudes you're talking about.
Let's say 3.5 and up, roughly.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't counted them. I would imagine thousands. I mean, hundreds. Hundreds, probably 1,000 or more a year. I just never counted them. All I know is when I go to the USGS website, I see, you know, many earthquakes every day. You know, 3.0 is pretty small. But,
okay,
but you know, we have to look at, compare all of them and just add them all up and do this, a time average of these quakes and see if they're increasing from day to day, month to month, year to year.
Are they?
Absolutely, yes. I have people, I have friends who study earth changes, and they've taken all the data, and one friend of mine is an expert on this. He has absolutely proven from the data that earthquakes are increasing at a tremendous rate. Also, Marshall Masters wrote a book. He's a former science editor for cable news network, CNN. Marshall Masters wrote this book titled Planet X Forecast and 2012 Survival Guide. In the book, he shows the data for large quakes on a graph, and he indicates the tremendous increase in large quakes ever since the middle of this past decade.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's increasing, and the government won't tell. The government lies and tells people, no, increases, earthquakes are not increasing. But if you talk to Brent Miller of the Horizon Project, thehorizonproject.com, this is a group of scientists who absolutely have proven, too. So we have Marshall Masters, the Horizon Project, and my friend Sherwood Enzi, who has done all three of whom have done the research and come up with the data that proves that earthquakes have increased significantly,
okay,
while the government continues to stonewall and lie to us as if we're idiots.
Well, folks, we're going to the phone line right now. I'm up to give everybody about 1 minute apiece because the lines are busy. I know people want to talk to John. So I'm going to ask you to please get to your question point very quickly. We'll move on to another caller about a minute or so apiece. Okay, let's start first with Gary in Kentucky. Gary, come on in.
Hey, it's your mom.
Yes, hello.
Anyhow, I have him first. Quick announcement, and then I have a comment and question for you. Yes. Anyhow, in Knob Creek, and machine gun shoot in Gun Show at Fort Knox is April 8th, 9th, and 10th. Anyhow, it's awful important, and there is a lot of supplies and to be had down there.
Okay.
Anyhow, and then, John, I really am praise Yahweh and Creator for the information that you have sent it. And anyhow, and I have noticed myself and on the compass and the poles are already starting to shift.
They are. That's a fact, yes. That's a fact. Any comments on that, John? Good call, Gary. Comments, John?
Can you recite that for me?
He said he noticed that the poles are already starting to shift.
Oh, yeah. There's been scientific data. I forget what the source is, but these are credible scientific sources that indicate that the magnetic North Pole has shifted at a much greater rate than it has in recent decades. It's a speed up, an acceleration in the shifting of the North Magnetic Pole.
Well, you know, that can mess with a lot of things, including a bird's migration flight. It could do a lot of things when that happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of people are speculating that there is a connection between the bird deaths and the fish deaths and the shifting of the Earth's magnetic field. So we don't know yet. It's still just theoretical, but certainly you're going to see terrible ecological ramifications of this shifting of the magnetic pole. But we have to distinguish between the magnetic pole shift and the geographical pole shift. The magnetic is, you know, is simply the magnetic lines of force and
right,
their center point at this at the two poles, whereas a geographic pole shift, that will come later when the Earth actually gets spun, sort of like
yes.
a bowler would spin the ball as he releases the bowling ball from his hand. He puts a spin on it. That kind of spin would occur. And of course, it wouldn't be as rapid as a bowling ball, but it would be enough to shift the top of the Earth and cause it to nod vertically as this huge brown dwarf star passes maybe 15, 20 million miles overhead, and it locks on the south pole of this overpassing, south magnetic pole of this overpassing brown dwarf star locks onto the north pole of planet
wow.
Earth. Magnetic north, because
that
north
is
and
phenomenal.
South attract one another.
We got to get some of the calls. Run out of time so quickly. What's a good? I wish you had hours. But anyway, let's go to Sean, Tennessee. Sean, come on in. You got very quickly get on here. You there, Sean?
The only thing I can say so far is I'm stunned. I'm really scared, Pastor Rich. I don't know what I'm supposed to do without any of this.
All you can do is pray yourself best skin, Sean. That's all anybody can do.
This is unbelievable.
Well, if this happened like John said it could happen, we're not going to survive it anyway, which is not a bad thing if you're ready to meet Christ. But if you're not, that's a bad thing.
Sean, you're seeing the early signs. Now, there are things we can do. For example, some of the things that the past ancient generations passed on to us because they lived through this, they told us some of the first signs would be massive torrential rainstorms and floods. That's exactly what we've been getting for the past 7 years. I've been documenting it on the Weather Channel, videotaping nothing but severe weather reports for the past 7 or 8 years. And the flooding is just epic, record-breaking floods all over. I mean, all over Europe, all over every part of the United States.
John, I don't mean to rush you. We're running out of time. Thanks for the call, Sean, and just prepare best you can. I'm so sorry we're out of time so quickly. Bill in Wyoming drops. Let's go to Mark in Wyoming. Mark in Washington. Come on in, Mark.
No, Oregon, Pastor Buck.
Oh, Oregon. I'm sorry. Come on in. I'll get it right in a minute.
How y'all doing tonight?
Yeah. Doing well.
Thanks for the most interesting show. I've heard Mr. DiNardo before. He's excellent. Understand, John, you were also the head of the field science department of CNN.
Hang on through the break with that question, Mark. Folks, prepare the break for the final segment and final wrap-up. Oh, this has been interesting. Don't go away. Folks, we are running out of time tonight, and I'm going to give a caller again. I'm so sorry, but this hour goes by so quickly. About 30 seconds per caller, and then we'll give the guest, John, about 15 seconds to answer. Mark, go make your comments very quickly.
Yes, John, I have just a very short three questions here. You can answer them with very short answers. Is there a calculation of Planet X's estimated time of its closest approach to Earth? Is it in months or years that they've calculated?
The government only knows, but they're concealing it from us. However, we can surmise from what's happening that it's the greatest disasters will probably occur next year and the year after. Although it's ramping up, just sort of like a dimmer light switch, we're feeling the effects right now, and the intensification is going to go week by week, month by month with the earthquakes.
Okay.
Far inland and
rather
how
rapid.
High would that tsunami wave be? If Japan goes into the ocean, has there been a calculation made of that?
I'll catch off on that question there, if you don't mind. John, how far inland would that tsunami come in California?
Okay, according to all the scientific estimates of the Canary Island, which is a small comparison, it's a half a trillion tons. The Canary Island that's going to crash into the scientists say will crash into the Atlantic and hit the East Coast. Well, they say that half a trillion ton flank of the volcanic mountain will cause an initial wave of two Empire State Buildings.
Wow.
Okay, it'll level off in a deep ocean, and then it'll rear up and get high again, probably. So we can estimate when it hits New York City. Now, I'm talking about the one coming from the west coast of Africa to New York. New York City, Miami, it'll probably be at least minimum 60 stories high, probably more like 100 stories. Now, on the West Coast, even worse, because Japan is much greater. So people have to be prepared to flee inland.
All right, folks, sure that. Jack, Kentucky, come on in. You got about 30 seconds, Jack.
Yeah, I'm a minister and an astronomer, and I was just wondering, I wanted to ask John if he thought that the planet would bring companions with it. I was thinking about Revelation 8.
Definitely. You're talking about Wormwood. Yeah, because this planet is like a vacuum cleaner in space. Remember, it's, or compare it to a magnet, a huge magnet that's, you're sliding this magnet along a tabletop, and sprinkle along the table, you have all these iron filings and little tiny ball bearings. As this magnet is slid across the table, it's going to draw in all these metal objects. Likewise, that's what happens with this brown dwarf star, not so much magnetically, but by its gravitational pull. It pulls in comets, asteroids, planets, everything.
Okay, Jack, good call, good question. Last caller, John in Kentucky, I guess Kentucky. Come on in, about 30 seconds or less here. Got to hurry.
Well, pretty much what I was kind of thinking, you were talking about the nuclear power plants being built on the hotline, and one thing about these ungodly people, you know, I mean, the devil's out to destroy the earth. And so, you know, there's no surprise they would do that. It's all these mercury light bulbs, you know, nothing but pollution.
Well, that's an astute statement.
Good call,
Very
John.
Good
thank you.
Because I believe that's exactly what Satan is doing. You see, Satan wants to copy the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always tried to do that.
Right.
So use that as your guideline. Whenever you see these earthquakes, remember, Satan's minions on earth are going to use harp and claim that Satan did it because it's a battle of fear. Who are you going to fear more, the Lord Jesus Christ and the destruction that he's bringing on the earth, or Satan and his new world order? So Satan has to try to pretend that the earthquakes that God is producing are actually produced by him with his harp. That's what your assumption is, and I think it's
correct. And again, I don't, you know, no matter how it feels, you may be running with me, I don't know, but when it happens, we know our God says it's going to happen, John. So we have faith in our God's word is true, and we're going to see it happen, aren't we?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you read the book of Revelation, and listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful, convincing evidence, more convincing even than all the scientific evidence that I got from NASA.
Amen. Good. John DiNardo, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Pastor.
I'll be talking to you again sometime. Folks, we're not trying to scare you. Honest or not, we're just trying to warn you. If it doesn't happen next year, next 10 years, it's going to happen sooner or later. We know because the Bible says it is. We do love you. And by the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of